Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
And good morning. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Mark Cox one more time. Joining with Dan Buck. How are you, sir?
I see him looking around well. I'm over in Mark's chair. I'm trying to figure out all the pilot tools over on this side of the room.
I know. It's fancy over there. He's got more controls for you. And you heard... I got to say, too, Scott Jagow showed up today, so we got a full morning show. This may be a first, at least for me, which is fantastic.
It's awesome.
A lot going on. And we're not any closer to getting a budget done as the federal government continues to argue over a couple of things. The medical side of it seems to be a big one. There are some articles of impeachment that are going to be drafted from the Democrats to RFK Jr. I don't think that's going to be successful whatsoever. But what you find is that all of these big events are happening at the same time, and you wonder, what are they about to distract us from? That's the first thing my head goes to. James Comey indictments in there, too. What are they about to distract us from?
Well, I think Comey's the first of what's probably going to be 4, 5, 6 indictments over the next 2 to 3 weeks. I think they're going to start to fall, and you're going to see a lot of court cases popping up going after the Clappers of the world and Comey. I wouldn't be surprised if Schiff doesn't get at least a grand jury to look at some of his dealings around January 6th. I just think it's going to be a whirlwind. I got the popcorn out, ready to go. Let's go.
No, I think when it comes to Adam Schiff, if anything, it's going to be the Russian dossier. I know that it's not proven, but I believe this, and I truly, truly believe that he was involved with trying to propagate this information to the media to try to get them to report on what he knew was false in order for the Democrats to then point to the media as justification to continue to investigate Donald Trump on a false premise that he knew was false. I 100% believe he was behind that, even though I could be wrong because it was never, maybe 100% is a little bit too strong then. But I really do believe that, if anything, is going to be the thing that, if they were to investigate him fully, that's what would come up. And if that's the case, that's pretty bad. That's really huge allegations. What about the 26 indicted in a drug case over in East St. Louis? Did you see that one? Federal court accusing a cartel drug pipeline from Mexico up to East St. Louis. 26 were caught there as part of the DEA's big bust. That's a pretty big one.
Yeah, I think 17 are actually in custody. 9 more are still at large. Several of them, I think, fled knowing this might be coming down. They fled back to Mexico, but they said, we're going to get them and we're going to find them.
Yeah.
And all 26 who have been indicted will be brought to justice. So it's massive, too. I mean, you're talking something like 800 pounds of fentanyl. That's 2 million fatal doses. It's plus cocaine, plus meth. They found a lot of stuff and operating throughout the bi-state area, but it is a direct drug cartel between Mexico and St. Louis. So big, 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 big bust. And that also will fall under the new Donald Trump narco-terrorism. That particular cartel was named as a narco-terrorist group. So that gives them even more leverage to put more resources behind it.
Yeah. And you see these DEA busts, that they're organized. They are spread out across the United States. They have a network. I mean, it's sophisticated the way that they operate these things. the way that they've been able to evade for as long as they have. But then again, I think there's been more attention to it under a Trump administration versus a Biden administration. I think Trump wants to go hard on this, so it's a real big priority for him. I liked back during his first administration, he would say things like, if you are a dealer and you're dealing this fentanyl and one of your clients dies, you can be held liable for that, as in we're talking life sentence or even death penalty in some states for killing people with your product. I mean, he was going in real hard with this, and that kind of just went away. And during the Biden administration, we got this notion that, oh, the drugs aren't all coming from Mexico, so you're making Mexico out to this bad guy. So we got a little bit more relaxed because I think the confusion and muddied the waters. Oh, you're just, why do you blame Mexico for everything? But that's where this stuff is coming from. And we got to stop it. I mean, the punishment and rooting out this stuff, that should be the priority. And that's kind of what's happening now as we see big busts in some major cities across the United States.
And also where there's going to be a huge difference will be on the prosecution side. That has been the argument of law enforcement, including the DEA, including the FBI. For the past 4 years, they couldn't get the prosecutors to work with them. And now there is such a priority at the federal level, at the DOJ level, to get these prosecutors working hand in glove with the actual agents on the ground and putting these cases together long before the indictments, you know, get handed down. They're working together on what charges, and that just empowers these police officers, knowing if they make the arrest, there's actually going to be consequences for the convicts that they're, or the suspects that they're getting. It's
right.
And this cross border terrorism too. That was there was no cooperation whatsoever. The Biden administration was not willing to put the pressure on Mexico to turn these guys over. Well, clearly the Trump administration has no problem calling them out, saying, hey, there's 9 guys in your country who've been dealing drugs in the St. Louis area, and we want them. We want you to either help us or we'll go in and get them ourselves. I think there's going to be something big. You heard that Hegseth has called together all the admirals and all the generals for a meeting on the 30th. A lot of people are saying that that is going to be related to a major operation in the Caribbean, including on the coast of Mexico, but also through Central America, going after these drug cartels, these drug pens, these operations down there in terms of a potential land invasion. I mean, that they may literally go in and take these people out for good and basically cut the head of the snake off. And
Okay. Well, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
But we got to get to the short list.
The Mark Cox short list.
Does it impact the case?
100% yes. All of those comments, I promise you, are going in Jim Comey's lawyer's file, because what they're going to do if he's indicted is very quickly, I think, make a motion to dismiss for selective prosecution. Now, that's a hard argument to make. It rarely succeeds, but that's because it's so hard to prove.
Yeah. You think Trump would have had it? Yeah, I was going to say, if Trump could have done that, do you think he would have? A little bit of selective prosecution against him, wasn't there?
Well, yeah, the tweets from Donald Trump, the argument that CNN and their legal experts are making is that James Comey will be let off the hook. I don't think that is going to be the case here.
I can only say that Comey's a bad person. He's a sick person. I think he's a sick guy, actually. He did terrible things at the FBI. But I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Do the problems at the FBI go back to James Comey? We've seen the FBI has just degraded itself year after year, and it's been pretty bad for a while. Does it start with James Comey?
I think the weaponization started with James Comey. I think there was a lot of other. I mean, you can go back decades and find problems with the FBI in terms of maybe some of their, you know, internal operational problems. But I think the total political, you know, the going after your political enemies started with James Comey in a big way. And he clearly put Donald Trump in his sights, and the Biden administration, and maybe even parts of the Obama administration had interfered, including the Russian collusion and the laptop suppression. All of those things tie back to the FBI.
I'm ready for it. I fully expect it. Cash Patel wrote a book where he identified 60 individuals who are his enemies. He called them government gangsters. he put me at the very top alongside Adam Schiff is the two worst. And so Adam Schiff is under investigation now. So I'm ready for it. I expect it.
Well, that was Eric Swalwell, who was caught sleeping with a Chinese spy. So, I mean, okay, let's not look into that, I guess.
Nothing to see here.
It doesn't matter if you agree with the literal truth of Christianity or not. The founders did, and they made a country for people who did.
So that was a point being made by Milo Yiannopoulos, who's kind of a controversial, been kicked off the platform and back on type of guy. He's making a point that between United States, Canada, whatever you may be, the way that they set up their foundation here in the United States Constitution, the founders found truth in Christianity, as which they wrote into their philosophy, rights given from God, which makes it truly unique compared to Canada, who try to base their rights on the document that they wrote from the beginning, not based on Christianity. And he tried to, I guess, compare and contrast the two a little bit. It was a pretty good speech. Do you know Milo at all?
I do not. I've heard the name, but I've not listened to a lot of his stuff. But he certainly makes a great point. You know, we definitely have inalienable rights that other nations don't have. Other nations think the government gives you your rights, and our government was set up on there's certain things that the government not only doesn't give us, but can't infringe on. And that, you know, makes us uniquely different, that we start with an assumption that we have certain God-given rights that the government, you know, needs to keep their hands off of.
Yeah. Well, he's an interesting commentator, mostly because he's like flamboyantly gay and loves Donald Trump. During even back during the first time when he was running for office, it was something that took a lot of people by surprise. But he had these conservative values. He came from the UK and he had a work visa here in the United States, and he loved the freedoms that you had here. And he recognized the freedoms that were non-existent in some of the other countries he visited. So he used that to compare and contrast a Donald Trump that wanted freedom. And then he got in trouble for something, and I can't remember what it was, but he disappeared for a long time. And now he's starting to try to make a comeback. I don't exactly know if it'll work, but it's an interesting speech nonetheless. If you take it for just the words he's saying there, I enjoyed it. But I've got to tell you, I didn't do enough research to remember why he got canceled. And quite frankly, the speech itself was pretty good. You know, we're going to have to talk more about this drugs coming up after the break. I know we're running late, but I want to go back into what you're saying with Hegseth getting all the generals together, because that's kind of an interesting
and the admirals. It's important that he's bringing the admirals together from the Navy and the Coast Guard, because they too are going to be part of whatever operations they're getting ready to launch. Yeah,
it's the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in with Dan Buck. Dan, I want to go back to what you're mentioning there about Pete Hegseth and him amassing the admirals, the generals. So this is a pretty big operation, it sounds like. And you said it's important that the admirals are involved with this. Why is that?
Well, because so many of the drug cartels are near coastal areas, and I would assume the Gulf of Mexico and parts of the Pacific, depending on where they go after some of these. But you're going to be in Central America. You're going to be potentially even in South America, definitely in Mexico. So they're going to need support from, you know, U.S. Navy and Coast Guard in the operations to go after these cartels. I think it's going to be a major operation, and I think Venezuela will be involved. That's where a huge amount of these drugs are pouring out of. And now, I wouldn't say, you know, stop short of maybe an invasion of Venezuela, but he's been on, I mean, they've put him on alert with all of the takeouts of the drug boats coming out. And keep in mind, that's a direct money source for the Venezuelan government. They're in cahoots with these cartels. So it's kind of like cutting off an economic supply for that regime. And, you know, I think there could be backlash, pushback from that government. And if they go after any American assets in the water, in international waters, that's a action of war. And that's what I think they're preparing for. But I do think Mexico may be, you know, not necessarily because they want to, but because they have to. or they're going to get slapped with huge economic sanctions, and they can't afford that in Mexico. I think there's been heavy pressure put on Mexico to allow us to go in and clean up these cartels. And I think that's going to be the focus of this. And you need both air, ground, and sea support, and that's why he's bringing them all together.
So if you know this, they know this.
Well, they made no bones about the meeting. I mean, yeah. Everyone knows, yeah. But why do you bring all these admirals in from all the different jurisdictions and the different theaters and basically come up with, you're not going to be meeting just a glad hand and say hello to one another. Something big is being prepared, type of a tactic, and they're not going to do that remotely. They're going to do that in a room, situation room. But I think October is going to be a action month for the Trump administration, both legally going after some of the people that have been under investigation for these 8-9 months, and then, of course, what we do with these drug cartels. I think
you want to talk about like transition teams for presidents, when the whole idea is, okay, they want to hit the ground running and they want to start right off the bat, no time to waste. Normally that never happens. Anytime a president gets in there, it takes time, and oh, we got to do this and nothing gets done. Like I think back at Joe Biden, and you had people that didn't even know where Joe Biden was half the time, or didn't even meet with the president. They had no direction. And in some cases, like Pete Buttigieg with transportation, he could be gone for 3 months before someone notices. So it was kind of there was not really any urgency there. They were just kind of existing, but without doing anything. So you compare that to the start of this second term, this of the Trump administration. Look at everything he's done. It hasn't even been a year.
Right.
And it's like full blast, pedal to the metal. We ain't stopping for nothing. I think part of that strategy is because he understands that if he were to try to, you know, if he were to try to take it slow, then this would get caught up in some court somewhere. And then they would have to draw out a legal battle before they can do what they have the right to do. So he's like, you know what, we're just doing it.
Right.
And that's what he's going to do. If we're going to take out a drug cartel, we're going to take out a drug cartel. We're just doing it. That's interesting, isn't it? The strategy is just do it.
Well, I think he learned in his first 4 years that things get mired in the process sometimes, and things get drugged. He's a businessman, right? He gets things done. He doesn't want things to get mired up, and I think he learned this time by going with an administration that would be action people who could actually execute a plan and do it in short order and not worry sometimes about, you know, the government red tape. It's the old adage, get it done and ask for forgiveness later. I think he's got get it done kind of people, and that from Marco Rubio to Hegseth to, you know, Bondi is one of those ones a lot of people still questioning. Is she able to actually get things done? She seems to be a foot dragger, seems to be, you know, way more calculated and delayed in her responses to some of these. But in my eyes, and people who look at these cases, legal experts who have looked at these cases consider them almost slam dunks. Like, why aren't charges being filed here, especially in some of the Doge cases, the fraud, the clear, you know, funneling of money, the lying on grant applications, the hundreds of millions of dollars that were given out by the Biden administration in loans with no documentation. How that stuff isn't being indicted more quickly is very frustrating, I'm sure, for the president, but it's also frustrating for us as an American people going, we voted for that, right? We want that corruption to be prosecuted. I do. I want to see perp walks. I want to see people coming out of these departments where this fraud occurred. And so far, Pam Bondi has not been able to execute and deliver on those prosecutions. But on the other departments, I think you're seeing great action, especially, you know, within the DOJ and FBI, and some of the work we're seeing done in these investigations. Now, they've had surprises, derailments, if you will, that have had to come up. I mean, the Charlie Kirk, huge distraction for some of those investigations elsewhere they were doing because of this high-profile case. I'm sure that was an all-hands-on-deck to make sure that they were getting that case right, and there's still ongoing investigations there.
We got your Buck Don't You Know What coming up.
Yeah, it's a good one, too. Yeah, very good one.
I can't wait to hear that.
Yep.
It's the Mark Cox Morning Show, and looking forward to reading some of these comments in the video chat. Those are always fun, too. One person wanted to point out it's no longer the Gulf of Mexico.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh. He saw that. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
But don't give a f-.
It is that time of the show where we give voices in social media a chance to come on a mainstream media platform and tell their story. Anytime, and I'm going to ask you guys, do you think that the mainstream media does a good job of giving the other side of the transgender story, meaning people who've had it and perhaps regret it? Ryan, have you ever seen a story like that of actual people on CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, of actual transgenders who have gone through the process and then say, oh my God, I made a horrible mistake?
Well, not on those networks that I can think of.
Fox has had,
I would have to,
yeah, Fox
do some
has
research,
had people,
but
on.
It doesn't come to mind.
They don't. They well, and there's thousands of them. If you're on social media, just put out there transgender regret, and you will see hundreds of people pop up on your streams, pop up on your feed. I got actually sent a link from somebody said, hey, for your Freedom Friday, you need to feature this woman. And she is a former transgender who was convinced by society and by doctors to cut off both of her breasts and to go through the male hormone treatment program protocol. And she said it made her so miserable. Well, she and her husband, she married a gay man. They have come to the truth. They have made it a national ministry to go around the country and share their story. Over 145,000 followers on her Instagram page. She just got on Instagram, too, I think a couple of years ago to tell this story. But she talks about the freedom that comes with the truth. And I think you're going to love this segment. It's a side of the transgender story that nobody's talking about, of the manipulation, the horrific medical problems that come from it. And she tells her story here in a very short, succinct thing. She has over 300 posts if you want to follow her. I'll give you Lex Rennick's information after you hear her Freedom Friday rant on social media. Here we go.
How crazy is this that 4 years ago today, this is what I post on social media.
She shows.
So crazy. Right after I made the worst mistake of my life, getting top surgery. For those of you that are new here, my name is Lex Rennick. My husband and I get the privilege and opportunity of traveling the world, sharing the good news of Jesus, and teaching the body of Christ how to love the misfit community effectively, because him and I were a part of the LGBTQ community. Now we are not. God has redeemed us, transformed us, and renewed our minds. So this is what I used to look like back in the day. And obviously, this is what I look like now. I could look better, but I'm taking care of two kids right now. Anyway, God has completely renewed our minds. And let me just say, the world sold me this knockoff version of Jesus, told me that if I got surgery, if I, you know, literally like mutilated my body and got all of that and was on testosterone, that I would be living in freedom. I even said that in the post, that it'll be worth the freedom. It was false freedom. If you are someone that's struggling with your gender, if you're someone that's struggling with your sexuality, and you're going to the point where you're going to go under the knife, because I paid $10,000 cash for my surgery, I was demonic. I was under spiritual warfare. It was evil, and I was being tormented by the enemy, literally bloodletting, looking in the mirror, being so disgusted with myself. cutting myself, hating my body. I was believing all these lies of the devil, but let me tell you, there's real freedom in Jesus. I didn't know that I was in bondage. I thought Christians that talked about this stuff were like homophobic, but that's not true. They just knew that there was freedom and they wanted me to walk in it. So I'm so sorry to the person that has ever misrepresented who Jesus is to you. This isn't a conversation of hate. It's a conversation of freedom and love. Love that is given only by Jesus. And so I just want to extend the offer of Jesus to you. He's better than any surgery, any preference you have, anything that you could ever do. He is it. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And you will live the fullness of your life when you walk in his way.
What an incredible message of freedom there. And this is something I know that Charlie Kirk had a real passion for. He too believed that this was a great manipulation, a great societal lie that was being perpetrated on thousands and thousands. And it's big business. Make no mistake about it. I mean, she talked about $10,000 she had to pay for that selective surgery to take off. And she now has two children. It's an incredible, incredible story. You need to go out. Just watch a few of her videos, if nothing else. Her name is Lex Renick, R-E-N-I-C-K. You can find her on Instagram. She also, if you put the search in on X, she will pop up because she's on a lot of people's feeds. A lot of people share her messages. She doesn't post a lot. She posts probably about once a week from what I can see, maybe once or twice a month, depending on where her travels are taking her. But they literally go around the world with this ministry and really address the lies of the left. And saying that, oh, you know, you'll commit suicide if you don't do this surgery, which is why many parents allow their young children, because that's what they're telling them. And she's like, oh, no, I became way more suicidal after my surgeries. And after I realized what I had done to myself, the guilt and the pain and the medical problems, the hormones completely messed up her mind, she said. So it's sad, but it's neat to see somebody so boldly coming back out and saying that through Christ and through her faith, she was able to break from those ties. It was incredible.
Wow. Wow. I think as a culture, what we run into, there's a lot of things we glorify, and people get very offended and upset when you point out the downsides to them. And some of the examples that I think come to mind, drug culture, especially when it comes to marijuana, if you point out the downsides, people get very upset. And same thing with gambling. We have people that are ruining their lives with sports betting, young people that are putting up money they don't have. And they are, I mean, losing literally every penny they have, and they make it so easy because it's right there in your phone. But if you talk bad about it, people get upset. If you talk bad about even, you know, you can go down the line. There's a couple of these things. They're almost looked at as like the sin tax type of items. But if you have the LGBT problems, if you have objections with minors mutilating their bodies with irreversible damage, then you're looked at as the bad one for bringing red flags up, raising those problems. And as a culture, I don't know why that one is the one they go full force into. Like, you can criticize the gambling and the drinking and some of these other things that are ruining people's lives. And you can say, hey, you know, there are downsides to these things too. It's not all fun like they portray. But if you bring it up on that side of it, the gender surgeries and the hormone treatments and things, then you're looked at as the worst of the worst. I don't know why they're going full in on this, but we need to reach the realization there are truths and dangers to this, and you have to accept those things in the reality that it is, but people refuse to do it.
Yeah, you bring up a great point. I mean, it is the alcohol, the drugs, the gambling that gets kind of a free pass. Kim Kowalski, one of our great followers on this show, she said that exact thing, that they get a free pass, but when you get to the LGBTQ, the defense is angry defense. I mean, they belligerently angry if you try to challenge some of their assumptions that you must have these surgeries in order to be fulfilled or to meet who God really wanted you to be. No, God made it pretty clear. He created two sexes. He knows what you wanted to be or what he wanted you to be. And this societal lie that just keeps percolating up that and taking hold, that's another thing, is that they do expect all of us to go along with it. Or we're the great Satan, right? We're the bad person. We're the evil ones, if you even dare challenge those assumptions. And so anyway, I think that that we need more voices out there, too, from the community itself. People like, and there's a lot of Lexes out there. You know, Lex Rennick is one who's boldly talking. There's a lot of people who, all their friends, their entire culture is in that space. So even if they agree with Rex, I mean, with Lex, she is somewhat a voice in the wilderness because they won't challenge their own community. They won't go out there publicly. Yes, they agree with her, but they're like, oh, man, I lose my entire circle of friends. Yeah, well, sometimes you need to challenge your friends and or find a new circle of friends. And Lex talks about that in a couple of her things about the social aspects that she and her husband had to go through when they made this bold decision, not only to fall in love and to start a family and for her to transition, what do they call it, detransition back to being a woman. But she said the social aspects of that was very hard for both of them. And she talks people through it. It's really good advice. If you know anybody who's struggling in that space, I think this is a great person to kind of turn them on to because she's got over 300 videos out there for people to kind of watch as she talks about their life together and the challenges of detransitioning out of that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And obviously it's faith-based. Don't get me wrong. She's a firm believer in Jesus Christ, and she puts it out front there, but she also gives very practical advice as well.
That's very good.
Yep.
Wow, good find.
Yeah, it was a good find. And a big thanks to my friend Cindy who sent it over to me, who said, hey, take a look at this gal. Maybe it'd be a good Freedom Friday. And I think she is. So,
yeah. All right, very good. When we come back, I want to talk a few other things. Maybe we play that Milo clip. Do you want to hear the full thing? The Milo Yiannopoulos?
I would.
It's pretty good.
I like the little clip that I heard. I'd love to hear the full context of it. Yeah.
All right, let's do that. And Tucker Carlson also had a rant about free speech in California. Have you seen the new law that Governor Newsom may be signing?
It's UK. It's exactly what the UK is dealing with. And Canada has introduced a similar piece of legislation that's supposed to go through, I think, this week. So Canada and California always in sync with one another. They're taking away freedom of speech rights. But it's mind-blowing what they're doing, folks. In America, you'll be blown away. Yeah.
A huge constitutional problem, when I'm sure will be taken up in the high court. We'll talk about that on the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Come back. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. Ryan Recker filling in. Where do we want to go to first? Do we want to talk about the freedom of speech issue, or do you want to hear the Milo rant, part of his speech, I guess? Which one sounds better, Dan?
We can do Milo, and that way, because I want to hear that rant, but I definitely want to get to the California new law that is going to blow people's mind of how they're attacking free speech out there.
All right, so here's Milo Yiannopoulos. He's someone that, controversial, I mean, to say the least, but he had a speech. I found this online. This is a portion of it. They put some music behind it, so I'm sorry for that. But he makes some pretty good points when it comes to the Constitution and Christianity. Now, keep in mind, Milo is a flaming, flamboyant gay man and makes no hidden anything about it. Everything about it is like he's like, okay,
over
there's no
the
question.
Top. Yeah, over
the
top.
Yep. And I think he does that on purpose. But he is also someone that supported Donald Trump from the very start in a very non-traditional way. Here is his speech. Now, keep in mind, he's from the UK, I should say. So that maybe puts some context into how he looks at some of the freedoms we have here. This is clip 11.
It doesn't matter if you agree with the literal truth of Christianity or not. The founders did, and they made a country for people who did. And if you don't agree with that, you don't like God, or you don't see why too much freedom is leading us all to hate and kill each other, and you don't appreciate that we should not only restore Christianity in culture, but require it in public life, you should go to Canada. You should go somewhere else where there's a moral architecture built into the law. But here, it doesn't work without God. And when you don't have him, when instead people replace prayer and the rituals of the church with antidepressants, with compound interest, with games and drink and drug and drugs and fornication, kind of thing he does with his wife, you know, offering her around town like she's common property. America doesn't work when we behave that way.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah, he pretty much nails it. And Charlie Kirk had a great, I don't know if you ever heard the time where he talked about what the Founding Fathers' intent was. It was clearly, it was based on Christianity and the principles of Christianity. He talked about Leviticus, which at the time of the Constitution was the most number one quoted and read book of the Bible. Everybody, and Leviticus is all about the formation of government. I mean, for the most part, that's what it deals with. And he says that all, you know, of 58 of the 59 Founding Fathers were of Christian beliefs, and yet people will argue, oh, we were, you know, God's only mentioned three times in the Declaration, and God's only mentioned, you know, a few times in the Constitution. Well, a few times is enough, right? I mean, they clearly made it a point to point out the rights, and that's what makes you America unique, is that the God-given rights that we have cannot be impacted by government, and yet they constantly are going after those God-given rights and violating our Constitution. No better example, by the way, is in California of what's going on. I mean,
with the
freedom of speech attack. Absolutely. They're going after the First Amendment just boldly. They're not even hiding it anymore. This is a blatant, I don't even know how the people of California can think this is a good idea. You want to give them the details of the law, of what exactly is being planned?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Signed. It's been approved, right?
It's been approved.
Just waiting on signature, right?
Of the government. And as far as I know, Gavin Newsom has not signed it yet. It was a bill that essentially says we're going to, this is how they phrase it, eliminate hate speech. So I'm going to just flat out say this real quick. When you define something as hate speech and the government has control of how it's defined, it's going to be used as something they don't like. It's not necessarily something that the general population looks at as hateful per se, because hate speech is an abstract idea that you can't really define other than a one-on-one basis of what offends an individual. So what California wants to do is, we're going to root out hate speech, and we're so progressive here that no one's going to hate each other after we outlaw this hate speech. And if you do, we can fine you in the platform that it was posted on. So the social media platforms will have to be extra careful if they see something that they think the government's not going to like, to take that person off of the social media out of fear that the government's going to fine them. And we're talking like $1 million fines or $500,000 fines, civil penalties even for the people that post it.
This is exactly what's going on right now in the UK. Comedians being jailed because they are, how dare them, making jokes or making comments about various laws that the government has imposed on the people there, or saying comments about the huge swarm of immigration that has occurred in that country, and they're losing their sovereignty, they're losing their national pride. And these comedians in their routines and online have gone out and commented it, and they're threatening them with long jail terms, literally jailing people for simply speaking up against the government. Well, this law is exactly, and give everybody the numbers that they're talking about. First offense, second offense. They're going to be, this will blow you away, of the amount of dollars that they say they're going to have the right to fine you if indeed you misspeak.
You know, that's a good, I don't know what
it's,
the number,
it's 500 grand first offense.
Yeah, half a million.
Yeah.
And then for, with like these companies, the companies could have $100 million or more, like in some of these different fines.
And it can go up to $1 million for second and third offenses. $1 million dollar fine if indeed you say something the government deems is inappropriate or hateful towards a.
Yeah.
It's funny too. They say it's only for minority or for compromised audiences. The speech can be against white people, but it can't be against oppressed groups. People, again, the government deems to be oppressed. If you go after any minority group, that's where it's going to be.
Let's talk about this more coming up after the break because it's important. 97.1 FM Talk.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.